Good morning, Chair. You're on the record.
Thank you, Jennifer. This is the Intertime Management Committee regular meeting, December 5th, 2025, 9 a.m. Call the meeting to order and proceed to number two, roll call for committee members. Jennifer?
Yes, sir. Alaska Energy Authority?
Bill Price here.
Chugach Electric Association?
Andrew Laughlin here.
Golden Valley Electric Association?
Dan Bishop here.
Matanuska Electric Association?
Tony Zellers here.
You have a quorum, Chair.
Thank you, Jennifer. Public roll call, please.
Okay, so we'll go to our attorney.
Joel Paisner, counsel to the IMC.
Jim Mendenhall, AEA.
Mark Ziesmer, AEA.
Pam Ellis, AEA.
Robert Varga, AEA.
Pat Dimitrovich, AEA.
Mike Miller, Chicago Electric.
Okay, Chair, and next we'll go to the folks on the Teams meeting. If you can state your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Paul Millwood, Chicago Electric.
Okay, 907 982. Do you want to identify yourself?
David Pease, MEA.
Thank you.
David Pease, MEA.
Thank you. That's everybody, Chair.
Thank you, Jennifer. Moving on to item four, agenda approval.
Entertain them. To approve the agenda as proposed with possible exception of assignments to.
Okay, looking for a second.
Second. Bill Price.
Discussion?
You want
to... Dan, would you like to discuss what you want to amend?
Oh, to discuss assignments.
Please turn on your microphone. That would be great.
This is Dan Bishop. I'd like to discuss assignments to the System Studies Subcommittee of LLC.
Okay, I understand you want to add committee assignments, so we can go ahead and add that under item 11 and move member comments to 12 on down. So looking for that to be a friendly amendment. So.
No objection.
Second's fine. Okay.
No objection. I don't know that we need to add it to the agenda. We do have a contract that's going to come up in the IOC meeting regarding the synchrophaser project. I don't know if it needs to be a separate item or if we can just talk about it during the IOC, but what we're going to be talking about is AEA taking a similar approach to what we've done with the PSSE model and for the contractor that will be doing the synchrophaser software. So I don't know that that necessarily needs to be a standalone amendment or standalone item. We can talk about it then. I'll defer to you.
No, I don't think we need that in here. We'll let the IOC handle that and propose or whatever if they need to.
No objection.
So do I hear any objections to the agenda as amended with adding item 11 for committee assignments?
Andrew Laughlin, no objections.
Hearing no other objections, motion passes. Okay, moving on. Number five, public comments.
Okay, is there anybody in the room that would like to make a public comment? Okay, is there anybody on the Teams meeting that would like to make a public comment? Okay, if there's anybody on the phone that would like to make a public comment, please press star 9 and you'll be recognized. Okay, no public comments at this time, Chair.
Thank you, Jennifer. Moving on, item 6, approval of prior minutes, October 28th, 2025. Should have copies of them. I'll entertain a motion for approval.
Motion to approve
Andrew Laughlin, second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. Is there any discussion? Is there any objections? Hearing none, seeing none, the minutes are approved for October 2028. Moving on to item 7, new business. Item 7A, FY 25 estimated surplus. And I see Mark coming up. So thank you, Mark.
Good morning. My name is Mark Ziesmer. I'm from AEA, and I will provide a quick summary of the fiscal year 25 surplus refund. This part of my summary will focus on page 2 of the report. For fiscal year 25, the Alaska Intertie has a total surplus of $1,063,591 to be refunded to participants. This surplus is derived from excess revenues from operating costs of $755,113 and administrative costs of $308,478. The refund allocation is based on the Alaska Intertie Agreement Section 7.4.4 and 7.4.5, which distribute excess revenues proportionally based on contributions. So the refund allocations are as follows. Golden Valley Electric will receive $725,966, which is comprised of an operating surplus of $623,120 and an administrative surplus of $102,847. Chugach Electric will receive a surplus of $102,816, which is comprised of an administrative surplus portion only. There is no operating surplus portion. Matanusa Electric will receive a surplus of $234,810, which is comprised of an operating surplus of $131,994 and an administrative surplus of $102,816. Some key highlights for the next couple of pages for the report. Operating costs were $811,755 under budget, which contributes to the surplus. The projected energy rate per megawatt hour was $13.54, which is lower than the budgeted rate of $16.86, and this is related to less than budgeted expenses. Administrative expenses were $308,478 under budget, with notable savings in the IMC administrative costs and miscellaneous system studies. Actual energy usage was 151,631 megawatt hours, which is 25,149 megawatt hours below projection. Despite this, usage revenues exceeded actual operating costs, contributed to the surplus. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions for Mark? Seeing none, thanks, Mark. We'll move on to item 7B, budget amendment discussion.
Thank you, Chair. We've got two items in the budget that are projected to go over budget. I'm sorry, I should have provided something.
I'm sorry, yeah. Chair. Yes. I think we need to accept the committee needs to accept the surplus. So there's a motion to accept that.
Okay. Sorry about that, Jennifer. There is a motion for that one, so.
Andrew Laughlin, I move to approve that the Intertie Management Committee approve the FY25 refund of surplus as presented.
Yeah, Bishop, second that. So we have a motion and a second to accept the 25 surplus as presented. So any discussion? Any objections to the motion? Seeing and hearing none, the motion passes. Okay, now moving on to 7B, budget amendment discussion. So I'll turn it over to Bill.
Yes, thank you, Chair. This is Bill Price with AEA. We've got two items that are projected to go over budget. One is the Douglas Subcommittee, or the Douglas Communications Project, conducted by CEA. It's actually on budget, but at the time the budget was approved, we weren't quite sure where it was going to land. We had a $100,000 placeholder. We're going to go, we need to add about $200,000 to that, which we knew that number roughly a month or two after the budget, so this was expected, but it is time to add it to the budget. Item number two is the Douglas substation structure is going over budget by, I believe, about $150,000 or so. I don't have the exact numbers, and I apologize for not presenting them here. However, the what I would propose is that we do something similar to what we did last year, have a mid-budget review, see if there's any significant changes we want to make to the budget that may reduce the usage cost for members. But I defer to the chair how far he wants to go with the this budget amendment.
Okay. Thank you, Bill, for that. First of all, is there any discussion on the two items that Bill brought up?
Andrew Lofton, just a quick clarification. This is the control enclosure of the structure.
That's
the
correct.
Control house. Okay.
And I got a quick update from CEA on the we're tracking a little bit less than the projected number, so hopefully it will be closer to 250 rather than 300 is what we're putting in the budget. But that's a speculative at this point. They're comfortable that the number won't be over what they were projecting at the time. So I'm comfortable with a $300,000 total adjusting by $200,000 to make the placeholder in the budget $300,000. I'm comfortable with that. And I believe we're on track to be done late January, something in that time frame to put this project to bed. If you have a update, I'm glad to hear it. But
no, I don't know. I meant the second item that you referred to, which was
the piling structure to level out the building was a little over budget just because of
that was the frost heaving we were having last year.
Okay,
understood. I'm good. Thank
my
you.
Apologies for misunderstanding.
We hit them both, so good to go. I think what we'll do is maybe on next month's agenda, just put it on the agenda to have a overall budget review by the Finance Committee and propose a new budget for mid-year updates for that. But we'll do that under item 11. So. Okay, so that was 7B. Is there any further discussion on 7B? Okay, seeing none, moving on to 7C, 2026 proposed IMC meeting dates. Jennifer was kind enough to email out the meeting dates, and January 16th, March 20th, May 1st, June 19th, July 24th, September 25th, and December 4th. I guess we're looking for a motion to go ahead and approve these meeting dates for next year.
Dan Bishop of Golden Valley, I propose that we approve these proposed meeting dates for 2026.
Andrew Laughlin, second.
So we got a motion and a second to approve the dates. Any discussion? Anybody opposed? Seeing and hearing none, it's going and approved. So. Moving on to item number 8, old business, RCA questions and docket U25-028. Joel?
I think this is a placeholder. In case anyone has any questions, we filed our initial brief with the monumental help of the committee here, and I want to thank Bill Price for taking a lot of his time to help me walk through some of the issues. I think we decided not to file the response. We're interveners in the process, and our position is that we're exempt from the RCA, and I think our filings were consistent with that to explain the basis of the exemption. I think, there'll be a hearing. It's a little confusing process over there. Not sure what to expect, hoping for the best and we'll prepare for the worst. So if anyone has any questions, happy to discuss or concerns.
So are there any questions for Joel outside of executive session for public meeting?
Yeah. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate that. In terms of strategy and things like that, we ought to wait for executive session, which I think is on the agenda.
Yes. Okay. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to item 9, committee reports. Item 9A, budget to actuals. Mark?
Good morning. This is Mark Ziesmer again from AEA, and I will provide a summary of the Alaska Intertide Budget to Actual Revenues and Expenses Report as of September 30, 2025. And we'll start with the revenue section. Actual revenues exceeded the budget by $88,756, primarily due to higher than anticipated energy usage. Energy usage totaled 18,948 megawatt hours, which surpassed the budgeted amount of 16,824 megawatt hours by 2,121. Interest accrued from the fiscal year start through September 30 amounted to $20,926. We'll move on down to operating expenses. Operating expenses were approximately $475,000 below budget due to minimal or no activity in several categories. Key variances, miscellaneous transmission expense, FERC 56,600, is over budget by $15,186 due to faster than anticipated spending related to the Alaska Rail Belt Steady State Dynamic Stability Analysis. That's a mouthful. This variance is expected to normalize as additional budget allocations are applied throughout the year. Next item is the maintenance of station equipment, Douglas Substation, FERC 57,000. This was discussed earlier in the meeting. It's over budget by $167,360. The project plan for both fiscal year 25 and fiscal year 26 activity. However, more costs were incurred in fiscal year 26 than planned. Insurance, FERC 58401, exceeded budget by $7,892 due to timing differences between annualized budget and actuals. The variance is expected to resolve going forward. Administrative expenses were $38,714 below budget, primarily due to lower than expected internal payroll and indirect costs. The report, current revenue and expense results reflect a surplus of $877,013. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mark. Is there any questions for Mark? Okay, thanks. Moving on, item 9B, IOC report. See Mike Miller coming to the mic.
Good morning, Mike Miller, Chicago Electric. In my report for December, I had an update on Douglas. Bill touched on it a little bit. The structure is anticipated to be installed in January, and then the comms cutover be completed by around March. In the last IOC meeting, we discussed what direction I had gotten from the IMC in the previous IMC meeting with regards to engagement with RRC and RTO. I didn't put that in my report, but I did deliver the message to the IOC members about where we sit and when it's appropriate to engage or not with regards to those entities, understanding that until something has made its way through the RCA or there's been some official formal request to perform a work, that we're not to engage at all, and obviously keep you guys informed or look for guidance as necessary. For some of the studies that we've had going on, the IBR study, we received a draft report since our last IMC meeting to review, and we plan on discussing that at our next IOC meeting. The 2-3 line study is still being worked by EPS, and we're hoping to have a final report by the end of the year. And Rail Belt EMT model, the staff working on that have had some personal leave and other things going on, but we still are shooting to have an RFP prepared and then have some kind of budgetary number to bring to the 2027 budget process. The assignment that you guys gave to the IOC, and then we assigned to the SCADA Telecommunications Subcommittee with regards to intertie communications, an update on that. There were some meetings that took place with the DOT and with the members of the Telecommunications Subcommittee. They're looking at two different directions, with Golden Valley taking the lead with the state, and then MEA and Golden Valley are also looking to coordinate with options or carriers to replace the AT&T service that has been escalating in cost over time. With that, I'll take any questions or comments from the committee.
Are there any questions for Mike? Go ahead, Bill.
I don't know that as much as a question, but on the synchrophasor project, I can provide a little, now might be a good time to explain what my discussion was earlier. Through the chair, so the synchrophasor project started 3 years ago-ish, and at that time, the SSS put out an RFP. They selected a contractor through the RFP process using Golden Valley's procurement processes. So they have a contractor they've selected. They've been negotiating rates with that contractor, and what they have asked AEA to do is stand in and manage and be the signer of the contract, similar to what we've done for the PSSE model, what we're doing for the EPRI model or the EPRI services, and just kind of stand in on behalf of the IMC members, which in this case will also include Homer. I don't know that we need an official motion or maybe just no one objecting. AEA has no objection to filling that role, but I wanted all the members to be aware, and if there's an objection or a comment, give you a chance to speak it.
Sandra Laughlin, may I ask a question about the contract itself? Is it a Golden Valley contract that AEA is executing, or is it a AEA contract?
It would be managed by Golden Valley, signed by AEA.
Okay.
Similar to what we've done with...
With a contractor.
With a contractor. The contractor is EPG. They were selected through open RFP process. That it happened many years ago, but it was done through proper procurement channels. This is not a sole source or anything of that nature.
Yeah, just my question was really around the enforcement of T's and C's of a contract, if it's being executed by AEA versus Golden Valley. But if
and
you guys in council's all good with it, so am I.
Well, and there will be an opportunity for each legal counsel. There's going to be five lawyers reading this thing before anything's signed. So, I mean, this just mainly give you guys an opportunity to object. I don't know that we need an official motion. I'll defer to the chair, but I wanted it on the record.
I don't think we need an official motion for this one, Joel.
No.
Nope. So, I have no objection to AEA signing the contract, Golden Valley managing the contract with EPG.
No objection from Golden Valley.
That's the important one.
Yeah, no objections from you guys either.
Okay. Thank you.
One thing, Mike, to just a question here on the SCADA telecommunications, what they're looking at, are they looking to be fiber now the whole way versus the T1s?
So the discussion of, I guess, lining out what it would look like to get fiber for the entirety between Fairbanks and South Central was not brought up. I'll have to follow up with the committee chair to see if that has been broached at all yet. And just to confirm that is, you want that to be rolled into this assignment for the subcommittee to...
I'm just more curious about it, if it is available or not, you know, where I think how this ties to the synchrophasor project and stuff. I mean, that you need fast communications there for those, so also. But I know at one time there was a proposal to run fiber, not by the IMC, but by ACS or somebody else, the whole route all the way up to Fairbanks. So, but I don't know if that was completed or not. So.
So are we asking the IOC to do a feasibility assessment, kind of just a written discussion as far as what that would look like and some sort of cost estimate? Or are we thinking just
I'm just more interested in the availability, if it's available, and throw it into the mix. So if you'd like, we can do a committee assignment and committee assignments.
Andrew, yeah, I'm just trying to help flesh out clarification for the IOC as to what that
is. I don't think there's a committee assignment here at this time, so, but I was just more curious of what's available. So.
And so, to be clear, we're looking to see if there's an existing or a soon-to-be existing. We're not talking about running a fiber on the inner tie.
We're not. We're talking commercial fiber right now. Okay.
Understood.
I think we run our own fiber if we were rebuilding lines and stuff like that, as we're doing with other places in the transmission system, but there's no proposal to do that yet. So. Okay. Any other questions for Mike? Okay, thank you, Mike. Moving on, item 9C, operator reports. Mike?
Mike Miller, Chicago Electric again. Going over the operator report I submitted for the December meeting. As you can see, since the last IMC meeting that I attended, we had a little bit of a shift in the Alaska Intertie usage. In the recent weeks, there's been some increased interchange between MBA and Golden Valley and also Chugach and Golden Valley. So that's reflected somewhat in the year-to-date numbers. There were no trips of the Alaska Intertie that I was able to find between September and the end of November. But there was quite a bit as far as events to discuss. I won't go into all of them in detail, but the Underfrequency Low Show event on the 27th is obviously the one that is most notable. I'm willing to discuss as much as I'm able any of these if you guys have any specifics on any of those events.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Any questions for Mike in the operator report? Seeing none, I think you're done. Thanks.
Thank you.
Item number 10, executive session. So looking for a motion.
Andrew Laughlin, move that the IMC enter into executive session to discuss, one, confidential legal matters which by law are required to be confidential, and two, confidential records that are not subject to public disclosure.
Second from Dan Bishop with Gold Valley.
Have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Any objections to moving into executive? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move into executive session. Topics to be discussed will be the RTO dockets with council, and we'll discuss the underfrequency load shed event that happened.
Okay, Chair, you're back on the record.
Thank you, Jennifer. We're out of executive session. I just want to make the comment that we're back on the record here, and I advise that the committee had not taken any formal action on matters discussed while in the executive session. For that. Okay, moving on, item 11, committee assignments. So we got a couple committee assignments. The Finance Committee, we're going to assign them to look at the overall budget, to adjust on a semi-annual basis to include the amendments to the budget and come up with another budget number, if appropriate. And the second committee assignment would be the IOC-SSS to study the southern intertie limits in the different states of the line, along with the line losses. So, is there any other items? Okay, seeing none, we can move on to item number 12, member comments. Andrew, go ahead and start with you.
Great meeting, efficiently run. Thank you to the chair, and then thanks to all the staff and folks who provided updates to the committee this morning. They were very thorough and very good. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Dan?
Yes, I'd like to thank, on behalf of Golden Valley, all the
people who have worked very diligently in the subcommittees to address these issues and continue to manage the project well.
Bill? Just echo those comments and thank you guys for all your hard work.
Okay, thanks. And I would echo those comments, and I'd also like to thank all the lawyers that are involved with the RTO and have to put up with that, you know, to keep us hopefully in an exempt status. So thank you. Okay, item number 13, next meeting date, January 16th for the next meeting date. And after that, I'll need a motion for adjournment.
Andrew Laughlin, so moved.
Bill Price, second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. Any objections to adjourning? Seeing and hearing none, we are adjourned. Thank you, Jennifer.